You'll find a Bible in front of you in the pew. Just pick it up, and we're turning to the Epistle to the Romans at the chapter 4, the fourth chapter to the Epistle to the Romans. And we read it together. And that means you don't just move your lips. It means they'll hear, and those that hear shall live. And we want to be a living church, a church with life in it. The fourth chapter of the book of Romans. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had not yet been uncircumcised. All of them that believed, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed upon them also. And the children of, and the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, but where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which he be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. For it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And God will bless and signify that blessing on the reading of his own most precious and infallible word of the living God. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. One of the most outstanding characters in the whole of the Bible is Abraham. And of course, Abraham lays out for us the target of what we all should be aiming for and seeking to do. A wonderful story, this man, Abraham. He was first introduced in the Bible as Abram. And then, because he believed God, his name was changed to Abraham. And there were three letters introduced to his name. The letter A. And so there were three A's. And I sat down with my Bible. And I said to myself, there's something special about this. Why did God inject three A's into the name that he was going to give to Abraham? Well, of course, the three A's are a Trinity. The Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you want a good thing to do over the holidays, take your Bible and examine the times that each A is underlined in the name of Abraham. And you'll see the working of God the Father, the working of God the Son, and the working of God the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot be saved except there is a triune work within us. First of all, who is it that convicts us of sin? Turns up our evil doing? Presents us with the darkness of a heart that has wandered from God? It's the Holy Spirit that does that. But then who is it that presents the offering for sin and precious blood that can cleanse away our stain? That, of course, is the work of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for the many. But from whom does this mighty covenant of salvation come? It comes from God the Father. And into the name of Abram, these three A's were injected because they sum up the whole of the gospel. This fourth chapter of Romans is a most interesting chapter. I hope that you got at least part of the message as we were reading it today. You'll find four things about the faith that saved Abraham. And the same faith that saved Abraham is the faith that has saved all that are in heaven and all who are on their way to heaven. The same faith. It has four characteristics. It was a prospective faith. It had a prospect. Thank God, every child of God here, we have a prospect. Some people say to me, Mr. Paisley, how long are you going to live? And I said, just as long as God wants me. Well, will you live very long? I said, that's my business, not yours. But let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm not going to live here forever. This world is an evil place. This world is marked by sin and death. But someday, every child of God will escape from it. And we're going to the city of God. And there's no death, hallelujah, in the city of God. Life everlasting. A man said to me one day, oh, what will you be like in heaven? Well, I said, I will be very good looking when I get to heaven because of something. The eternal life that's in my heart at this moment because I'm a child of God. That eternal life will flow like a mighty river in my heart. Oh, the prospect of heaven. There's a lot of people in heaven I am looking forward to have a good chinwag with us in eternity. There'll be plenty of time. No excuse. Nobody going away, nobody going to bed, and no rest in heaven from tiredness. I'm just itching to get there, to meet the prophets and the priests and the kings, to meet our long lost brethren and sisters who fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith. But first of all, to meet my Savior and my Lord. To look upon the very hands that were nailed to the cross. To look on the face that was spit upon. To look to the blessed Savior. Oh, I shall know him by the print in his hands. And then we have the Holy Spirit and in the book of Revelation, the description of the Spirit is sevenfold. And what a wonderful person the Spirit of God is. It was the Spirit of God that arrested us when we were in the road to hell. It was the Spirit of God drove the Scriptures home to our hearts. It was the Spirit of God witnessed to our spirit that we were the children of God. This was all in the perspective of faith. But let me tell you, there are no words of mine can describe of what this faith is going to be like when it's perfected in heaven. It's all right, dear, you'll be good looking in heaven. You'll not be worrying whether you need some powder or some paint, God forgive you. You don't need to worry about that there. You're going to be like the Lord. You're going to be good looking. For the first time in history, you'll be good looking. Because you'll be like the Lord. Prospective faith. By and by I'll see the King and I'll crown him Lord of all. But it's more than a prospective faith. It's a progressive faith. Yes, this faith is a progressive faith. I'm not where I was 10 years ago. As far as the Lord is concerned, I've come another 10 years nearer home. And the nearer you get to home, the happier you become. When I used to do my long journeys around the world and preached here, there, and everywhere, from Australia to South America, to USA, to Canada, and to Europe, and to the countries of Asia. I was always glad to get home. And when I got the sight of my home, I used to say, I don't think I'll go away anymore. But thank God, we'll never leave heaven. We're going to be in heaven forever. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. For in that land of joy and song, we'll never say goodbye. And in heaven, you're going to learn. Every angel of heaven is a learner. You know what we read about the angels? They desire to look into it. So you will be back to school when you go to heaven. You will be in the place where we learn. Oh, what learning there is up in heaven. What glorious teaching we will have in the Father's house. And best of all, we will have God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to lead us as we grow in the glory of heaven. Some people have a silly notion that when you get to heaven, you'll see it all in a few days, and it'll still be a place of sameness. There is no sameness in heaven. It's a never-changing, glorious home. We are going to be changed, the Bible tells me, from glory unto glory. You're not going to wear the same suit of clothes every day in heaven. My, you'll have a wardrobe of clothes. The clothes of holiness. The clothes of peace. The clothes of absolute glorious peace. Peace like a river that never ends, flows on forever. This faith is prospective, but it's progressive. It's a growing faith that we'll have. But it's something more than that. It's productive. Every one of God's people in heaven are doing a job. Everyone. There are those there that are the songsters of heaven, and they're in the choir. There are those there that play the musical instruments, and what musical instruments there are in heaven. There are those who go to the library and take out the books of God and sit down and read of the counsels of God. I often wonder what happened before this world was made. I'll be able to read all about that in the library of heaven. And the doors will open, and I'll see the wonder of it all. It'll be an amazing thing to see the saints, to see the martyrs, to see the reformers, to see all the great men of God. But best of all, to see Jesus. And when I see him, I'll sing and I'll shout the victory. Oh, let me tell you, friend, heaven is a productive place. It produces something. And the first thing and the last thing it produces is worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What worship there is in heaven. To be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? Yes, it's a prospective faith. It is a progressive faith. It's a productive faith. But it's a persuasive faith. One day I was persuaded that I needed Christ as my Savior. One day the pressures of the conviction of sin was upon my heart, my conscience, and my soul. And one day I closed with Christ, freely offered in the gospel. And one day I received him into my heart, Christ within me, the hope of glory. I was persuaded. But heaven is a place of steady, eternal persuasion. It'll be wonderful when the angels tell us they're going on a special visit to a place we have never heard of or even have thought of. And all blood-washed souls can go if they want to go. There'll be some rush to get your name down. And we will see things that we never thought we would see. We'll hear things that we never thought we would hear. We'll experience joys that are beyond explanation and even thinking about. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. For in that land of joy and song, will never say goodbye. You're in this service this morning, and you think I'm speaking gibberish because you don't understand. But oh, if you come to Christ today, before you leave this service, you will say that Philippians, they can't preach at all. I could preach a better sermon than I'm just saved. Of course you could, because the joy of the Lord would be your strength. I trust that everyone who has been here this morning and has heard these few words that we've had to say, that God will write them on your heart. And that you will say as you sit there in that seat, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Give me this prospective faith, this progressive faith, this productive faith, and this persuasive faith. Give it to me. I want to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live me. And to live within me and give me the hope of glory. Don't leave the Lord's house without the Lord, the King and Master of your soul. There's power in His blood to cleanse you. There's grace in His heart to save you. And there's promises in the book that are yea and evermore forever. Enter in to the good land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee that we'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. For in that land of joy and song, they never say goodbye. Be with us now as we have this dedication service. And bless this little one who will be dedicated. And early in days may she come to know her Father and her Mother Savior. And to God will be the glory for great things He hath done. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn with me and we'll sing together the hymn we have marked for this special service. 701 is the hymn. 701. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in His word He's shown us the way. Here in our midst He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. We'll stand to sing. Let us hear the word of God. They brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Do you, the parents of this child, declare yourselves to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you promise to bring this child up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord, so that early in life her feet will be directed to the cross and her heart will be washed in the Savior's blood, and that she'll learn to know her mother's God and trust her father's Savior? Trinity Jean May Stalford, I dedicate thee in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy and the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace forevermore. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the presence of this baby girl in our sanctuary today. And we thank thee that you have given to her the greatest of all blessings, a saved mother and a saved father. And we thank thee for their desire that she should be brought to thy house, and they should, like Samuel's mother, present her to the Lord. And so they have presented this little girl to thee. We know, Lord, you'll not turn her away, for you have said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Early in life, may she learn to know her mother's God and trust her father's Savior. We thank thee, our God, that the blood was not for an individual, but it was for the whole house. And we claim household salvation this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen, and shouted, Hallelujah. Amen.